You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Skirt, Matt Wilhelm, hour number two of it. And we're going to take a little bit of a spin into the analytics world. Because I love the numbers. I love football analytics. We know the Browns were believers in analytics, commissioned a $100,000, in fact, analytics study of quarterbacks. Now, unfortunately, they did not follow the results of that study, which had Teddy Bridgewater as the best quarterback in the class. Nonetheless, it is certainly something that's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger in sports, and certainly in the NBA, where they feel that they really can master the analytics. Daryl Morey in Houston is one of the biggest proponents of that. Well, Sir Charles Barkley, not a huge fan of analytics. They talked about it last night on TNT, and here's how it all went down.
Daryl Morey, the Rockets GM, tweeting that the best part of being at a TNT game live is it's easy to avoid Charles spewing misinformed, biased vitriol disguised as entertainment. I have a feeling Daryl wasn't very kind of you describing Houston as a bad defensive team. In fact, you said worst in the league defensive team.
A lot of teams is going to make the playoffs. They're awful defensively.
But if you look at the metrics on the thing, they're like number five in the league defensively.
They're not. Just because you got good stats doesn't mean you're a good team defensively. They're not a good defensive team. They gave up 118 points. No good team gives up 118 points. I'm not worried about Daryl Morey. He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics. He went out and got James Harden and got Dwight Howard. Ain't going to tell me that's analytics. Then he went out and got Trevor Ariza. But then he went out and got Josh Smith. So, first of all, I've always believed analytics was crap. And I never mentioned the Rockets as a legitimate contender because they're not. And listen, I wouldn't know Daryl Morey if he walked in this room right now.
So tell us how you feel about Daryl Morey's comments.
Come on, man.
And that was very vitriol of you to say.
I just tell the truth.
Well, I think the one thing that, there is something... There's something about analytics. However, your analytics can change over the course of a year by how you play different people and how guys improve. So the improvement of your team also dictates your analytics. When I first came into the NBA, my first 5 years in the league, I took 82 threes. In 5 years, I only took 82 3-point shots. After the fifth year, I took 82 in probably 40 games when I got to the Rockets. It was because of what it is. But if you looked at my analytics, you said, well, this guy's not a three-point shooter. But I became a three-point shooter because I had a big beast mode in the middle that drove two men. So I'm like, okay, I'll stand out here and start shooting threes. So
that's why analytics don't work.
That's why
analytics don't work at all.
It's just a crap to some people who were really smart made up to try to get in the game because they had no talent. Because they had no talent to be able to play.
I agree with you on that, Chuck.
So smart guys wanted to fit in. So they made up a term called analytics. Analytics don't work. What analytics did the Miami Heat have? What analytics did the Chicago Bulls have? What analytics do the Spurs have? They have the best players. They have coaching staffs who make players better. And like I say, the Rockets sucked for a long time. So they went out and paid James Harden a lot of money. They got better. Then they went out and got Dwight Howard. They got better. They had Chandler Parsons. And no, this year they went out and got Ariza. The NBA is about talent. All these guys who run these organizations who talk about analytics, they have one thing in common. They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game, and they never got the girls in high school, and they just want to get in the game.
You know what I cannot wait for, Chuck?
They never got the girls in high school.
You know what I cannot wait?
I love the prom date was whack.
They couldn't go to the prom.
This is a true story. On Friday of All-Star Week, a couple of days from now, we are going to be on a panel at the NBA Tech Summit, and you know what our panel is on?
Analytics.
Analytics. And Charles is on there. I'm moderating them. I cannot wait.
Hey, and I've said, Ernie, I said the same thing about analytics last year. I'm going to say it about it next year. I'm going to say it about it Friday, and I'm going to say it about it 5 years from now. It's just guys who ain't never played basketball.
What kind of
they use that? They use that same crap in baseball, and they put these little lightweight teams together, and they never win. They always competitive to a certain degree.
and they don't win. It's the same thing in the NBA.
All so you think that Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal together is not analytical?
Hell no.
Just asking.
Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Ginobili, Kawhi Leonard has nothing to do with analytics. And I think when they put Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James together, had nothing to do with analytics. Give me a break.
Interesting to note, Charles Barkley.
I can listen to Chuck all day.
Oh, guys, great. 538, the analytics and a website of Nate Silver wrote an article saying Charles Barkley doesn't love analytics, but analytics sure love him. And in fact, according to advanced analytics, you can make the case that he's the greatest power forward of all time, whereas conventional wisdom and conventional numbers would say that he certainly is not. So I think it's an interesting point, and it's certainly an interesting debate. The Browns, under Joe Banner, clearly believed in analytics. They commissioned that $100,000 study. I think that they're, you know, they've got a lot of NFL teams have them. Now NBA teams have them. They have all these analytics departments. And I think there's a lot of value in it. I think to just say analytics is dumb is a foolhardy and ignorant statement. I think that you can say, I don't want to rely solely on analytics, but I think when you can come together where you have traditional scouting methods and analytics all telling you the same thing, that's a wonderful thing to do. And we know, you know, from the reports that were put out there, for example, Teddy Bridgewater came out at the top of that analytics study, and I think you would certainly be hard-pressed to say that there was any rookie quarterback better than Teddy Bridgewater last year. So I think that it's to say that analytics have no role is dumb. To say that analytics should be the only thing you rely on, I think would be equally as foolhardy. Analytics absolutely can play a role and make an overall evaluation process better, more thorough, and more complete.
I agree to a certain extent, and because there are people paid a significant amount of money to evaluate when it comes to building a team or drafting someone, and that in most cases where analytics comes into play. As you were speaking, the one thing that I wrote down, you know what analytics does? It gives you another voice. You know, when there's opinions of a general manager, opinions of his lead scouts as they evaluate a certain talent, you can run the analytics on that player and come out with a non-biased voice on how you come out on a certain topic, on a certain player, whatever it is. When it comes to football, the analytics, or we'll call them, you know, the stats or that you may get throughout a football season, the one thing that we use analytics for is to develop a tendency, you know, more so than anything. And that's what I talk about as a defender and what we study watching film and you don't dive into the numbers. You dive into the tendency associated with those numbers. Per se, on third down and five or less, the New England, and I'll just use the New England Patriots, like these types of routes. You know, and what you try to do as a football player is a process of elimination based on those numbers, based on your film study of that individual team, to put yourself in a most reactive situation in a football game to kind of know what's coming. And then also you get into the tendency of, well, what do they like to do when they line up in this formation, on this down and distance, and so on and so forth. And that is, when it comes to a foot, you know, in-season football, that is what we do 16 times over. Is you have to forget the analytics associated with the Oakland Raiders 1 week and be able to study and develop a new understanding of the analytics, you know, i.e. tendencies associated with that football team you're playing that week, and go out and play your best guessing game of what they're going to do based on your study or the analytics associated with that football team. And that's why in some cases when a team is studied, we don't study. If you're playing them week 12, you don't study 11 games. They take the prior 4 weeks, which are the closest analytics to who they are and what they're doing at that point in the season, and you study those because most likely they're not going to deviate from what they do in the week that you see them play.
And you're talking a lot about tendencies as well. I think in addition to that, I think it's a good tool in evaluations.
Sure.
I think when you look at any type of an evaluation that is based solely on watching tape and solely on your eyes – is going to be somewhat subjective to the filter of the individual watching that tape.
Absolutely.
Or watching that player.
Yeah, it's a non-biased.
So you're trying voice. Right, you're getting a non-biased voice based on efficiency, based on numbers. And I would imagine that analytics can be very useful, in fact, to players in terms of understanding their own tendencies and things that they think they may or may not have been so great on. I think that they are very analytic They are very helpful in terms of negotiations. You can say, listen, in these advanced metrics, I'm this good. So if you, you know, extrapolated that out to a bigger role for me, I'm worth more money for you. Teams can also use it the other way to say, well, you know, you're actually not as good as you think you are.
You're right.
But I do think that they are very, very good indicators and tools and pieces of the overall puzzle, whether it be in terms of evaluation, whether it be in terms of making game plans, whether it be in terms of doing the things that a football organization needs to do to be successful and win.
And the one most recent point in my mind when it comes to an analytical or a statistic type of format when it comes to Cleveland is, I think probably less than a week ago, LeBron was made aware of an analytical assessment of, you know, points per assist and where they ranked within the NBA. And then a great player like LeBron, and not every organization can do this, not any one quarterback, or maybe there's only a few players in the NBA or National Football League that could do this, but him seeming to understand the analytics associated that were given to him, he went out that next night or that evening and totally skewed the analytical breakdown that was given to him by going out and having, what, I'll say 27 of the 34 field goals come from an assist. And they literally went from the lower third in the NBA, which is where they were ranking all season long, to the highest of the high. So one person can do that, but to break that tendency, but it was that analytical breakdown used, you know, by one great basketball player to go out and deviate from the analytical breakdown.
No question about it. I think it plays a very interesting role. And I want to hear what you all think. 216-578-0850. What do you think about the role of analytics? How important are they? Do you believe in just purely old school scouting? Do you think it should all be a part of things? Should it all be working together to give yourself the best chance of winning? Just another piece of information, another voice at the table that has no bias and has no soul because it is purely based on the numbers. I think it's very interesting. You guys know where I stand. I don't want to hear where you stand. 216-578-0850 on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.